Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast Supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
This is the summer to expand your horizons. You've had enough staying home. You've had enough confinement. It's time to explore. But before you set foot out the door, set foot in the ultimate travel shoes from Allbirds, like the breathable, silky, smooth Tree Runner, the responsive foam and extra grip of the Tree Dasher, or the classic low-top look of the Tree Piper. Allbirds has a shoe ready for whatever adventures you have planned. Whether you're traveling to the ends of the earth or settling in for a staycation, you need a shoe that's versatile enough to go with any outfit, durable enough to wear over any terrain, and lightweight enough to make packing a breeze. Being made from insanely comfortable, breezy eucalyptus fiber is a plus, too. When you wear Allbirds tree shoes, you're in vacation mode before you even leave the house. They're the only shoes your suitcase needs. Boarding pass? Check. Passport? Check. The perfect travel shoe? Check. Find your perfect pair of Tree Dashers, Runners, Pipers, and more at Allbirds.com. That's Allbirds.com.
Hello and welcome to episode 344 of Geek Town Radio. I am back this week with...
To infinity and beyond!
Matt, how are you doing?
I'm doing very, very good, David. There's a particular reason as to why, but how are you doing?
I'm doing well too. Why are you so good today?
Liverpool didn't win the league, so... And now they can't win the treble or the quadruple, so it's always a good thing. And it was a very scary day yesterday because they almost did.
Yes, they were very, very close from what I hear. They It went to Man City, didn't it? So I mean, Still Manchester rivals, but you know.
Yep. So I had a very good day yesterday. How are you?
I'm very, very well. Been a little bit calmer this week than the craziness of the bloodbath that was the TV stuff last week. It's been calmed down a little bit. We've had quite a few trailers and stuff drop this week, and bits of sort of mopping up and news and things. So we'll get into that in a minute. Before we get to that, what have you been watching?
Well, I actually finished two shows yesterday, which is good. That was after all the football madness. Went and finished Heartstopper. This is the LGBTQ show that is focused on... It's mainly focused on these two guys that are figuring out their sexuality. Well, one of them's a bit further ahead in their sort of journey with that, and the other one is more kind of questioning and stuff, which is cool, and it tackles kind of like British teenage school areas of that type of thing. As Gray kind of mentioned before, because obviously with Love, Victor, that is still sort of the same age group, but obviously that's more in America and they've got, you know, different ways of doing things over there. Mm-hmm. I'm going to probably, because I got a message, Gray back actually, he messaged me this morning, because we're going to hopefully do some sort of season review for that, go into all spoilers and stuff, but I don't think it is as good as Love, Victor, but that's quite, like, for me personally, obviously that's a very, like, personal show to me. I was a particularly higher bias. I still think it's a really, really great show. Most importantly, though, I think it's an important TV show. So aside from its actual qualities and stuff and the way that the story is told and all that, I do think it's a very, very important show. And that's always really, really good, especially with, you know, with Pride Month, what, like just over a week away or so. The show kind of also did help me in certain ways as well. There were certain ways I related to certain characters, which was really good. My one sort of, not really criticism, because they have been renewed for two more seasons, which is good. Because once I reached the end of the first season, because it's Charlie and Nick, which are kind of the main two guys, and they do a lot of development with the two of them, especially by the end of the season. And there are like other characters that are sort of lesbian and this other kind of stuff as well. I would like to see more development now for those characters, but seeing as you've got more seasons, you can kind of not like push Charlie and Nick to the background, but you can focus a little bit more on other characters. Because if you did as much development with Charlie and Nick in this season, in the next two, I don't know how far you can quite actually take that story, unless it's just sort of simply following their lives. But what I would like the second season to do is focus a bit more on the other characters. So that's not really a criticism. It's just more sort of, you did this in this season, I'd like you to do something else in the other seasons. But a very, very good show. It's about 30 minute episodes. There's about 8 of them, and I apparently got through them quicker than I even realized, so that was really good. You seen any of that at all?
I haven't got to it yet, no. But yes, I mean, everywhere that I see talking about this, it's been very, very, very positive, mm-hmm. which is wonderful. And there's really interesting sort of bits and pieces behind the scenes. Like, you know, it was an open audition of 10,000 people for those two lead roles. Kit Connor has been in a couple of other things. He plays Nick, but the guy that plays Charlie, Joe Locke, was a complete newcomer. So that's really awesome. You've also got Yasmin Finney in there, who is going to be in Doctor Who as a character right. called Rose, but we don't know in what respect that's going to, like, whether it's the mm-hmm. Rose we know, whether it's something else. And the entire thing is written and created by Alice Osman, who is the person that actually wrote the original comic books, which it's based off. And it actually started off as a webcomic on Tumblr, and now it's a TV show. And they also said that when they announced the renewal of it, 1,700% the comic book sales have gone up of volume one of the comic book. It's absolutely insane. Kit and Joe have gone from like around about 100,000 followers prior to the launch of the show to like having, Kit's got like 3.4 million followers and 2.5 million for Joe on Instagram. The Heartstopper hashtag on TikTok has like amassed 4.3 billion views. So it's been a massive, massive hit for them. Which hence the reason they've renewed it for two more seasons. Really happy for all of them that it's gone down so, so well. And the fact that, you know, it's the original creator of the book that is actually in charge of the show as well, he's brilliant.
Yeah, there's like a particular bully in the show as well. Obviously, that's, you know, doing the homophobia storyline and everything. That's really, really quite effective and everything. And I got certain things from that as well. I'll go more in depth with that when me and Gray do the review and stuff. But there was a few things I kind of picked up on in those scenes as well. So I'll talk about that a bit more later. But no, really, really good show, and most importantly, a very, very important show as well, because there's a difference between, we all love our fantastic, phenomenal shows, but some of them have important specific themes and stuff. So
yeah,
that's good. Finished Central Park, the second season. I actually fell at one point like 5 or 6 episodes behind because it had a mid-season break. I don't know why. It had basically 16 episodes, and then I got caught up with it yesterday. It's a good season. I would say out of those 8 episodes, half of them had sort of movement in the plot, because season one, I'm pretty sure, had less episodes. I think it was 10. And when I went to catch up with the show and looked at how many episodes there were, and it said 16, and I was on episode 10 or something like that, or I was on. So I had quite a big chunk of it to watch. I was like, oh, that's quite a few episodes for a season of like Central Park, because something like The Simpsons has a, you know, per episode plot, where a Central Park kind of goes through the whole season. So I think the season suffered from being a bit too long. I definitely kind of felt that. And in the, let's say, 4-ish episodes that had like more meaning to them, it was because actual plot was happening. Because there's a couple of big things that happened in the last 2 episodes. And I was like, oh, why didn't you sort of try and do this earlier in the season? But then I realized, well, the season's a bit too long. They deal with some like bigger stuff in the last couple of episodes involving like the actual core of the show, and that's when I kind of realized, like, okay, that's why I haven't enjoyed the season as much, because there just wasn't simply as much plot. I still enjoyed the musical parts of it. The music, I will say, however, I think certain songs not only were a little bit repetitive but lasted a bit too long.
Right.
The things I still enjoy about the show, I still really like the characters, and like Josh Gad's character, he's kind of like the narrator for the series and all that sort of thing. I still like the main kind of family and all the other sort of characters and that, but I think next season, just make the season a bit shorter and focus a bit more on like actual plot, because there was stuff happening in the season, but it was sort of, okay, this is just sort of things that are just kind of happening, like people just doing little jobs and things like that. And I know it's not a show to take like really seriously and all that, because it's kind of a fun animated comedy show, but it just, in some of those episodes, it wasn't really sort of focused. I think it was a little bit all over the place. Have you caught up with Central Park?
I have seen a few episodes of it. I just didn't watch that much. I watched the first couple of episodes, I think, and then sort of dropped off it. I don't know, other things were sort of in the way, and it wasn't kind of grabbing me as much as some of the other shows out there do. It's one that's kind of fallen by the wayside for me. But yeah. The music and the song and the sort of characterization sort of was enjoyable enough. I didn't quite grab me enough.
Yeah, I just feel that season two is a bit less focused and structurally wasn't really quite all there. But if they can go back to the qualities of season one, I'm sure they can make a great season three. Yeah. So I still enjoyed it. It just had those particular issues. Then I picked up a new show, which might not have been the best decision considering what we've got coming down the road. But yes. I thought I'd try to catch this one early. I noticed there was only one episode out.
Yeah.
And as I mentioned, I'm trying to do that a bit more with certain shows. It's called The Time Traveler's Wife, which I had like 50% interest in, mainly because I'd seen like a title for it at some point, and you'd probably mentioned it coming to Now TV or something at some point. It has got Rose Leslie in it, who I like. Obviously, she's from Game of Thrones. I think she was in some episodes of Luther as well. I really, really like this pilot. Yeah. I'm gonna definitely stick with this show. There's a new episode out today, actually. It's the kind of pairing that with Barry, I think. I think that's HBO's like Sunday night thing at the moment. Barry's been excellent as well going forward. But basically, this is about Rose. His character, she's married to this guy, and he completely uncontrollably time travels just all over the place to some really dangerous spots, to some normal spots. And the problematic part of that, not only because you may or may not end up in front of trains, but the problematic part is nothing he's got on him goes with him.
Yes.
And I'm talking about clothes. So he ends up in some problematic situations with that, because he ends up in people's houses. He ends up on train tracks where he almost dies and other random places. And I like the first like kind of the way that the show starts as well, because they not explain it, because he at the moment in the pilot episode, he sort of doesn't really know why it's happening, but he sort of has learned to, because he's been doing it. I think the wife mentioned 15 years or something like that they've been doing this, trying to have this somewhat functional marriage where your husband will disappear at some point. He's kind of managed to live with it somewhat and just sort of get used to it. But it's a concept I don't think I've really seen, like the specifics of the concept. Obviously, we've had time travel shows before, but I really enjoyed it. I thought in certain points it was surprisingly funny, and just the general concept itself is mm-hmm. really, really cool. And for Rose Leslie's character, you know, for the wife herself, she kind of at different points meets different ages and different versions of him. Have you caught this one at all?
Yes, I watched this as well. I'd be really interested in this because it's based on a book, and they actually did a film version of it back in...
I noticed that when I Googled it.
2009. Yeah. The book's from 2003. They did a film version in 2009. This adaptation comes from Stephen Moffat, who, of course, knows something about time travel.
I saw his name in the credits.
Yeah, he's the person behind Doctor Who. So, you know, he's and Sherlock and other things as well. He's exactly the right person that you want doing something like this. It's directed by David Nutter, who's like a huge, well-respected director as well. And it's a 6-episode series. I really, really enjoyed it. The entire premise of it, it opens with them interviewing the husband and wife, which is Claire, played by Rose Leslie, and Henry, who is played by Theo James. I think they're both incredibly likable as that couple. And this weird sort of jumping around in time, because Rose meets him before he meets her because of the sort of weird time difference. So you've got this strange setup of her having known him a lot longer than he's known her. And then as you go through, you know, he doesn't really understand how the time traveling works. It's sort of more of an affliction rather than a superpower, because he randomly can just disappear, and he'll disappear, spend some time somewhere else and reappear back just after he left. Sometimes he'll disappear and he'll be gone for months on end, and she never knows when he vanishes, when he's likely to turn back up again. And as you say, there is the problem that when he does disappear, he just leaves behind a pile of clothes. He can't take anything with him when he travels. So he's become rather good at surviving, because he could suddenly land in, like you say, in front of a train or in the middle of a street, or, you know, but he's completely naked and he's going to have to take clothes off somebody or off a washing line and try and find money, because he doesn't know how long he's going to be there and how he's going to survive. I really, really enjoyed the entire setup for this. Ends in a really interesting place on that first episode as well. It is one of those things that if all 6 episodes had been like put up on demand, I probably would.
Oh, is there 6?
Yeah, there's 6 episodes. Okay. I would have just binged my way through them, I'm fairly sure, had they gone up.
I would have probably watched at least 2 back to back, yeah.
Yeah, because it ends in a really interesting place. But it's an HBO show and it's going out the day after it goes out in America, so...
Same thing Barry's doing, yeah.
Yeah. because of that, it's going out weekly. But I really like this. I think they've done a wonderful job, and it's well worth watching. But it's on Sky Atlantic and Now over here. There's one episode, well, there's two episodes up now because another one went up last night. So yeah, definitely want to go and watch that.
Absolutely. That's what I've been up to, apart from enjoying certain football things. How about yourself?
So yeah, Time Travelers Wise, obviously, that was one of the things that I watched. I did try another new show called Night Sky, which is on Prime Video. And this looked really interesting as well. Setup is, it's Sissy Spacek and J.K. Simmons. So it's an older couple called Irene and Franklin. And you sort of meet them and they are pottering around the house. She's quite sick and he's sort of having to look after her. It also happens that buried in their backyard, sort of in under a shed, there is this secret chamber. And when you enter this secret chamber, it transports them to a strange deserted planet with this beautiful vista of a night sky with planets in it and stuff. That's what you're initially introduced to. It's this really odd little nice old couple in sort of rural America just happened to have access to this weird transportation thing in their basement. And they've got like a room set up where they can go in and sit in. They can't really go outside because they've tried experimenting. And if they go outside on the alien world, they've tried it with like mice and the mice died straight away. So that it's not like they can go wandering around on the planet. So that all they can do is kind of go into this chamber. They get transported to this alien world and they sort of sit and watch the vista and stuff. So that's what you're introduced to. I should say, if you're looking for Night Sky, it was very, very difficult to find on Amazon. It's a newly released show, and I literally had to go into the search and do a search for Night Sky for it, despite the fact that I had it in my saved playlists. Uh-huh. Didn't come up anywhere on my front page. I was like scrolling through and couldn't find it anywhere. I literally had to go into the search and search for it to come up. So it seems to have got very buried. I don't know whether that's just me, but it wasn't highlighted at all because they've got a big banner across the top and this is a brand new show they've dropped out and it wasn't anywhere on the front page, which is a little weird. Yeah. So the setup for it, I always found quite intriguing. And the sort of premise of it is that this is in the description, so it's not giving a huge amount away, but they find somebody in that chamber on one occasion. And it's like, well, who is this guy? Where has he come from? That sort of thing. That guy's played by Chai Hansen, who some people know from things like Shadowhunters, and he was in The New Legends of Monkey on Netflix, and he's been in a bunch of other things as well. That's the sort of setup for it. The opening episode is glacially slow. I mean, it's just unbelievably slow. I was like, get to the point, because they sort of open it, you've got this couple pondering around, you see them sort of say, shall we go and watch the stars? And they go out to the shed, they go through the kind of transportation thing, they sit in the room for a bit and they're kind of chatting and that's all lovely and everything. Then they come back up and then you start to see bits about sort of their life and the fact that, you know, she isn't particularly well, and it just doesn't really go anywhere or do anything until this lad turns up. And even then, I've watched the opening two episodes, and the second episode kind of has this additional interest because, you know, you've now got this extra character of, well, who is he? But it's still pretty slow going.
How long is the episode?
They're about an hour. They're like 55 minutes.
Oh, right, okay.
If they were half an hour episodes, you'd be like, okay, fine. But they're hour-long episodes. And I mean, somebody had already commented one of the posts that I gave up halfway through episode two. And I sort of understand that because it is really, really slow going. I'm enjoying what I'm seeing and I'm kind of interested by the story, but I need it to go a bit faster. I'm going to try and get through a couple more episodes and see whether it picks up. But it's from Legendary Television, who are the people behind things like Carnival Row, and it's Amazon as well. I really like J.K. Simmons and I like Sissy Spacek. It's a good cast. The writers behind it haven't really worked on a huge amount of things. One has something to do with Into the Badlands, and the other guy looked like he was a sort of comedy producer. He worked on The Nightly Show with Larry Wilmore, but that's the only other real credit he's got. So I don't know. I mean, an interesting premise, but just very, very, very slow going. So if you like sci-fi things, fast-paced, definitely not one for you. If you're prepared to stick with it, possibly, but I do want to see whether it actually goes anywhere. I will try and watch right. some more
and
episodes.
Who that person is and
yeah, and you know, because that is a sort of interesting thing of like, well, who is this person? Where did he come from? I mean, the second episode, you're in this America, and then suddenly you're in Argentina, and there is another family that appears to be sort of protecting a similar sort of thing. You know, so there is some sort of wider thing going on, but it's just taking a long time to get there, and it feels like the story is just plodding a little bit. So I will watch some more and I will try and catch up with it, and I will let you know either next week or the week after where I am with it and whether I think it is actually worth your time. But just be aware, if you go and look at that, it's called Night Sky. It's on Prime Video. It is very slow going. The other thing I picked up this week, my next guest, which is the Dave Letterman chat show series, that is back. There is, I think, six people he's talked to. It used to be done obviously in front of a stage, but since a lot of this was filmed in COVID, a lot of it is him going to people's houses this time around. The Will Smith one, which is not the first one up, I think the first one up is actually Billie Eilish, but I did what I think most people did, was skipped over that and went to Will Smith. Then a title card comes up at the front of that episode going, this was filmed before the 2022 Oscars. And you're like, ah. Yeah. So I'm sure everybody was like, oh, this is the start of that. But I mean, it's still really interesting to hear him talk about, you know, particularly there is a story of how he got the Fresh Prince of Bel-Air. And then I also watched the Ryan Reynolds episode as well, which is in Ryan's house. They do that one. And Julia Louis-Dreyfus as well from Veep and Seinfeld. There was one with her. Billie Eilish, Kim Kardashian, and Kobe Bryant, I think, are the other three, but I haven't done the other three. I watched them completely out of order because you don't need, you know, I went for the people that I really wanted to see first, and then I'll go and watch the other ones. But it's basically an hour-long interview show, Dave Letterman chatting with these people, and it's really, really good. They're interesting to watch through, and this is the fourth season, so there's quite a few up there already. But if you like those sort of interview format things, they're really quite good. And the other thing I watched was a film, which is Chip and Dale Rescue Rangers, which I was really looking forward to having seen the trailer, because the entire premise of this, if you're aware of Chip and Dale Rescue Rangers, big 80s cartoon, and they've kind of taken that idea that it was a cartoon in the 80s and run with it for this movie, rather than just trying to do a big version of what they used to do in the cartoon, which was, you know, the Rescue Rangers were a little team of small heroes led by Chip and Dale, who would then go on adventures every week and try to rescue somebody. I mean, that was sort of the setup. It was your standard sort of 80s Saturday morning Disney cartoon sort of thing. The movie version, which they say is not a reboot, it is a comeback after 30 years in the making, takes that idea of Chip and Dale had this TV show back in the sort of, you know, late 80s, early 90s, and Chip and Dale had a falling out, and that was when the show got cancelled, and then they've gone in their different directions. So one of them's like an insurance broker, and the other one's doing the Comic-Con circuit and trying to sort of relive the glory days, you know. So Chip is voiced by John Mulaney, and he's got this kind of domestic suburban life, and Dale's voiced by Andy Samberg, and Dale's also had CGI surgery, so he's no longer a flat 2D character, he's now a 3D character, whereas Chip is still a 2D character. And the world that they live in is a mixture of various cartoon characters alongside humans, so it's got that sort of Who Framed Roger Rabbit kind of idea going on. It's that sort of world. There are so many cartoon cameos in this from people like Roger Rabbit, and some of them are just like blink and you'll miss them. But there's other Disney cartoons, there's other cartoons from Warner Brothers, and other, I mean, there's all sorts of things popping up in there as background characters, and some quite as foreground characters as well. I mean, I don't want to give anything away. There is like a hilarious setup when he's signing things at the Comic Con. There is a human cameo in there, which I thought was really funny, and there is sort of a major conversation between him and some of the other rejected cartoon and video game characters in that sort of booth area that are also signing things, you know. There is a great conversation between those characters. So it's a really fun setup. I'm not entirely sure who this is aimed at, because a lot of those jokes, I think, might go over the heads of the younger audience who won't understand some of the references because they're not old enough, not because of their adult, but just because they weren't around to see the original shows. So there are some things that might not land, but that that might work as a sort of family thing as well, because it is this sort of big adventure. Basically, one of their friends gets into trouble and Chip and Dale end up sort of begrudgingly having to team up to go and try and rescue them in real life, bearing in mind that they played Rescue Rangers on a TV show, but they were actors. They were never actually, you know, did that in real life. So they're now having to do that in real life and team up together and try and rescue their friend. So that's the sort of basic overall premise of it. But the world that they create has got so many visual gags in it. It's funny. It's fun. I like the fact that it sort of pokes fun of itself. The voice acting's really good. There's other people in there like Will Arnett. There's Eric Banner. There's David Haysberg. He's in there. Keenan Michael Key, Flo LeBorg, J.K. Simmons pops up as well. Seth Rogen pops up in there. I don't want to give any gags away, but there are some wonderful, well thought through kind of gags about the various animation styles, and totally worth going to see. It is up on Disney Plus right now, so you can go and catch it on Disney Plus. It's called Chip and Dale Rescue Rangers, and it is one definitely worth catching, I think. As I say, your age might depend on exactly how many of the gags you get, but certainly worth watching.
Okay, I might try and check that out, I think, because I do like that style anyway of CG characters with real people, like how they did it in the Sonic films and Detective Pikachu. I do like that.
There is a really, really good gag in there that I think you'll very much appreciate, particularly when he's at a signing booth. Worth pulling up on Disney Plus, but that's Chip and Dale Rescue Rangers. I really, really enjoyed that, so definitely one to watch. That's all the stuff we've been doing this week. Let's move on to some TV and film news.
When you make decisions for your company, you look for the no-brainers. If you have a lot of mailing to do, Stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. Use the Stamps.com mobile app to mail everything you need to keep your business running with up to 89% off USPS and UPS. Make the same no-brainer decision as over 1 million other businesses with Stamps.com. Use code PROGRAM for a special offer. That's Stamps.com, code PROGRAM.
So TV and film news this week, we start off with the renewals, cancellations and pickups. After last week's bloodbath of cancellations, there aren't a huge amount. There's some more renewals. There is one cancellation this week, and it is again from the CW. So that marks the 10th show they cancelled in the last couple of weeks on the network, just like the sort of villain at the end of a horror film that pops back up for like one final kill before he gets shot by the police, you know, that one. They did announce one more. Well, it is technically an ending rather than a cancellation, and it's Riverdale will finally end on its 7th season, they have announced. I mean, neither of us have actually watched this show for probably since, what, the 2nd season? So
second or third, yeah.
Yeah, so as to exactly what's going on in it at this point, other than I know from what I've been reading, they've had things like, you know, monsters, time travel, aliens, apparently. There's all sorts of weird magic and stuff going on in that show. But the amount of people that have gone, oh yes, it's probably time, that I saw as the response to the announcement of this. 7 seasons, Riverdale is finally going.
Been on a wild ride, certainly. You could certainly say that. So.
Yes. Out of all the shows on the CW, this is pretty much the only one to get a final season. There were some comments from the CW boss who slightly threw the creators under the bus a little bit. Mark Pedowitz is the guy that runs CW currently. I mean, it's probably going to get sold in the next couple of weeks, but I mean, he's currently the boss. He said, "We had an idea early on which shows could be bubble shows. We did not know 100% what would happen, so we tried to encourage all the producers and to treat their finales as if they could be series finales. We wanted to do the right thing by the series and by the fans. Ultimately, the producers are stewards of their own creative vision. Unfortunately, it's the fans that lose out by these decisions." So basically saying, look, we went to everybody that we thought might get cancelled and said, you might get cancelled, make sure that your show is a series finale just in case. And if it wasn't, it wasn't our fault, it was theirs. Which is a bit harsh of a sort of thing to, I mean, but, you know, fair enough. If they're getting a lot of flack for cancelling a load of shows, if they actually went out and said, look, this could be your last season, and then Legends goes and ends on a cliffhanger, It's the fault of the producers, not of their fault. But, I mean, the fact that he came out and said it, I thought was a little harsh, but...
Depends how many plot lines you've got.
Well,
if somebody turns around and is just like, oh, you've got, like, a few episodes left or something, it's not quite so easy to just finish off your show that way.
It is, so. It depends on the type of show it is as well, because with something like Legends, as they proved last season, you can wrap things up to a certain point, because as we said before, last season served pretty well as a series finale, and then there was that 5-second coda at the end which like set up the next season, so that worked quite well. And I think with a show like Legends where it changes dramatically every season, you could have actually put that in a position where it wraps up whatever that storyline is and you just don't set up a next season. You can do it with a show like that. If you're maybe something like Legacies, which is the Julie Plec Vampire Diaries series, I imagine something like that has got like 20 different storylines going on because there's a whole bunch of cast in there. If you've got a show like that, I imagine that's a lot more difficult to tie up in a satisfactory way and still leave it with the possibility that you could come back for another season. It's difficult in some situations to wrap them to a point where you're still leaving yourself enough legroom to be able to carry on and wrap it in a satisfactory enough way. So, yeah, it's tricky. But all he's basically saying is he did give people a heads up that that might be a final season. But Riverdale has been the one thing that has actually got a final season this time around, which, whether out of all the shows, that's the one that deserved it, I'm not entirely convinced. I think Legends probably deserved it more, but I don't know.
Wonder when The Flash will end, because that's the ninth is its next one.
Yes, it wouldn't surprise me if the next season is the final season.
I think they said they cut it down to less episodes or something as well.
Well, that wouldn't be a bad idea. If that is the case, that wouldn't be a bad idea.
Should have done that from the start, but never mind.
Yeah, I mean, it doesn't need to be 22 episodes. Yeah, it doesn't need to be 22 episodes. That's always been a problem. It always felt that storyline was somewhat stretched out on that.
Especially when for years they had like 4 or 5 shows running in one go, and for 23 episodes, it's a lot.
Yes, yeah, it is. We've said for years that should be, what, a 16 episode run rather than a full...
At the most, yeah.
Yeah, at the most should be a 16 episode run. Mm-hmm. We know for a fact that Grant's only signed on for this season, but as I've said before, Ellen Pompeo at Grey's Anatomy does that every season and always bitches about the fact that he's coming back and always wants it cancelled, and then they throw a load of money at her and she comes back again. So part of that, I think, is negotiating power as well. So it's possible that he's done that because he's essentially out of contract at the end of each season, which means he can negotiate more money each time. It also gives him the option to be able to walk away. So we'll see whether they decide this is a final season or not. But certainly it's feeling like it possibly could be and maybe should be. Yeah. I mean, the other thing that he did say is they are committed to superhero shows over there. I mean, they did cancel most of the Arrowverse, so they might not be connected kind of universe. And they have picked up a new DC show, but I don't know. Fine, as long as they're not sort of wiping all the superhero shows off the slate. But the Arrowverse itself, I think, is pretty much done as a sort of interconnected universe, because the new show they have picked up doesn't fit in with anything. So anyway, that's Riverdale. We'll be going after one more final season. That's got a 7th season. There are some renewals as well. Heartstopper, as you mentioned earlier, that's been renewed for 2 seasons at Netflix. So that shows you what a big thing that has been.
Can we also not cancel that after 3?
Well, yes, that is also the danger. If they give it 3 seasons, they kind of just say, okay, we'll make 2 more and that'll be it. Unless that is the creative decision of it, you know.
If it's meant to be 3, then that's fine.
Because, I mean, that's also the thing when you're dealing with kids that are in high school, that
they get older,
you've
like Stranger Things,
yeah, you know, you kind of limited because of the age of the cast. Either that or you've got to dramatically change the story, which I mean is doable, but yes. There is a show on Apple TV called Home which has been renewed for another season as well. It's a documentary series, I believe, that one. It's actually a home kind of not a home improvement series, but it's a documentary that looks inside the world are the most innovative homes, apparently. So if you like those sort of documentary, you know, snooping around people's houses, interesting houses sort of things, it's one of those. Yeah. So that's on Apple TV. That's been given a 2nd season. So 9 episode first season is already up there. High School Musical, the musical, the series, still a ridiculous title, renewed for season four at Disney Plus. I mean, I think the third season isn't something like High School Musical, the musical, the series, the camp or something.
Another subtitle because, you know, the name wasn't long enough before.
Exactly. It's ridiculous, that title for the show. So we'll see. Maybe they'll have a camp and it'll be some sort of subgenre of that. So it'll be High School Musical, the series, the camp, the singing contest or something. I don't know.
I did hear in the upcoming third season that Olivia Rodrigo's role has gotten cut down a little bit, which is a bit of a shame because she's like literally one of the main characters. So I think that's because her music career is kind of kicking off and stuff. I noticed she had a documentary or something put up on Disney Plus, which came up a few months ago. So maybe it's because of that. But again, she's like one of the main characters. So we'll see how they handle that. But yeah, good to see it come back anyway. It's a kind of, it's an enjoyable show. So.
Yeah, so that's back for a full season anyway, over on Disney Plus. And over on Channel 5, they've revived Challenge Annika after 15 years, which for those of you that don't remember Challenge Annika, because, I mean, you know, that's a while ago, it was the sort of follow-up series she did after Treasure Hunt. Treasure Hunt is the one that everybody remembers with Annika Rice going around in a helicopter following kind of clues, and that was sort of a competition series. Challenge Annika was slightly different format. Basically, she turns up somewhere, they give her a task, and she has a certain period of time to complete that task. And it was done for children in need, I think originally was how they set it up. So she basically turns up in a truck, and sometimes it would be something like building a vehicle or providing something to somebody, or it could be a garden rescue thing, or there was all sorts of like random challenges that she was given, and she's given this kind of period of time to do it. So that was the basic premise of it, and apparently Channel 5 have decided they're reviving that after 15 years with Annika Rice, I think, back in the lead of it. So if you like that show, it will be returning at some point in the not too distant future. In terms of pickup and other news, they've announced over on Dave that Late Night MASH will be returning, and Rachel Paris will be taking over it from Nish Kumar as the main host of that. That was a sort of weekly political satirical comedy series, and Nish announced at the end of the last season that he wasn't going to be coming back. Entirely his own decision, because he did the MASH report for I think 3 or 4 seasons on the BBC, and then they cancelled it, and then they did Late Night MASH for 1 season on here, and he's just decided 5 seasons is enough, basically. So Rachel Paris, who was on the show previously doing skits and stuff, she is going to take over as main host, and I think she's a great choice for it, so I think that's going to be really fun. They announced over on Disney Plus there is a Daredevil series in development. Well, let's qualify this. It wasn't specifically announced by Disney Plus. It was announced by Variety and I think Deadline and a number of other of the high-end industry papers. Mm-hmm. So the high-end industry sites had come out with this news, so it is a rumor, but those are the places that don't post things unless they have actually heard something.
They don't ask you for clicks for nonsense.
Yes, these aren't clickbaity things. These are places that genuinely have people and sources that are very much embedded with inside various industry things. So there have been a lot of rumors about the fact that they have a Daredevil series in development, and of course, why wouldn't they? I mean, we've kind of presume that they are going to be doing something with those shows ever since they got them back from Netflix. Yep. But apparently it is in active development. And the reason we know this is because they've signed on a couple of writers. The two people that they've picked up as the writers are Matt Corman and Chris Ord. They've been signed up to write and exec produce. They are probably best known as the creators of the Piper Perabo, the USA Network series, which was called Covert Affairs. That ran for 5 seasons. They've also been EPs and showrunners on things like The Enemy Within, The Brave, and Containment as well, which were, they were actually fairly short-lived shows, those, but they clearly have experience, so, you know, we'll see where that goes. It will, of course, have the same cast, because they've already brought Charlie Cox back, and they've also brought Vincent D'Onofrio back in various places, so it's not going to be like some big recasting thing. Whether it tonally changes is a different matter, but it's less of an issue than it was because of the fact that they they now have parental controls in the US on Disney Plus, which they didn't previously. So they can make it more adult, which it was on Netflix.
If you can do what you did in Moon Knight and in Doctor Strange in terms of violence, I don't see any reason you can't do the same, like almost the same show that they did over on Netflix. They might have to tweak certain things, but I don't think it's going to be the sort of, oh, you're like watering down Daredevil or anything, because some of the violent stuff that we saw, and I'm not ever someone to complain about violence or whatever, but I understand there's different audiences out there. What they were able to get away with doing in Doctor Strange and not make it an R-rated film was, it to me, was actually quite surprising. And I remember watching that film and thinking, if you can do the things you're doing, because like, let's just say Wanda's being kind of violent in that film, I don't see any reason you can't do that with Daredevil. And swearing's a different thing. Obviously, that's where they'll have to tackle like Deadpool and stuff. That's a future thing. But I don't remember Daredevil swearing that much. There might have been the odd F-bomb here and there from different characters, but you can easily write around that. They handled that with, I know it's a different thing, but like AMC with Negan, because he's known to swear a lot in the comic books, and they very easily wrote around that, and it didn't take anything away from Negan as a character. Of course, Jeffrey is doing a phenomenal job with that. So, and Moon Knight, like, still, he was, you know, in some fight scenes and things like that. That wasn't as bloody as Doctor Strange was, but it was still like, you got some really good action out of that show. So this whole idea of like, oh, the PG-13 Disney-fied watered down Daredevil, I don't think it doesn't need to be like that.
Exactly. I mean, well, look at the Mandalorian as well. I mean, the Mandalorian chopped somebody in half in the opening episode. You know, so I actually don't think, even if they did make it PG-13, I don't think it's gonna lose a huge amount by doing that.
No, I don't think so.
And I mean, it needs to get as close to the edge as it can because of the type of hero he is. But like you say, with Moon Knight, I think they handled that really, really well. So I don't really see it being an issue for them. And I mean, there is two points to this. One is, do they make it PG-13 because Disney Plus, even though they don't need to do that now because there is an adult rating, and the old Netflix shows, which are now on Disney Plus in the US, are behind the adult locked section. So they have that option if they wanted to do that. It's whether Kevin Feige himself actually wants to tone it down a little so it makes it easier to integrate that character into the wider MCU. I mean, there is a creative possibility why you might want to just tweak that a little bit. So I still expect it to be a little bit of a soft reboot, because you are fully integrating that character into the MCU. But if they want to go all out violent, there's no reason why they couldn't do that. And I think it's less of an issue with Daredevil than it would be maybe, say, for Punisher. If they did a Punisher series, then yeah, maybe you'd want to keep that as more 18 rated, because I think Punisher and Deadpool are more closer related in that sort of respect. So I think you could get away with toning it down a little bit without losing too much, given what we've seen with things like, you know, Mandalorian and Moonlight. I think you can get away with quite a lot there. But yeah, I think there is going to be some sort of, not a full reboot, in the same way that when you have a new comic book writer come onto a book, they slightly tweak the direction of things, you know. So I think it's going to be sort of like that. You've got new people taking over the book of Daredevil for this Disney Plus series. So it is going to be a little different, I suspect. But, you know, I'm okay with that. I'm really interested to see what they come up.
I would like them to bring Foggy and Karen back.
I'm sure they will. They'd have to. I'm sure that will happen. Sticking with Disney Plus, we also got a She-Hulk premiere date, which we kind of mentioned last week, but they have officially confirmed it. And we got a trailer as well. But that was Wednesday, the 17th of August, they've officially said. And there was a trailer went up. I think this looks like quite a fun series. I know some people have sort of like been a mixed reaction to it, because it is an out and out comedy. I mean, it is listed as a comedy series, but I think it looks like it's going to be quite fun.
Yeah, I really enjoyed the trailer for that. I do have to say about it, because I kind of tweeted about this as well, a lot of the like negative comments I saw was about how she looked, and it just furthers what I've sort of said before, which is the obsession with visuals in this industry, like whether it's graphics in games and like, oh, look how good the grass looks and all this kind of stuff, is becoming kind of comical. Now everyone's got their, you know, entitled to their own opinions, and you know, if they want something to look better and that kind of stuff, but it was just interesting to see the comments about like the CG on her and things like that. And this isn't actually like a finished product either, because they still have, you know, time to put, you know, it's not out for another couple of months yet. But just found the conversation around that interesting. Did you see any comments about that at all?
Yeah, I saw a few things talking about, you know, the CG looks a bit dodgy here and there. And if there is things that they need to tidy up in the CG, and there may very well be that they did for the trailer, I'm sure they'll get to that. Mm-hmm. They've done a pretty decent job with all the CG stuff so far. I mean, I'm sure it'll be all fine when it comes out. Don't judge it entirely by what the CG's like in the trailer.
Yeah.
But yes, 17th of August for She-Hulk, that is coming to Disney+. Reacher, we already knew they were having a second season for that show. First season was great. They've announced that the second season will be based on Book 11, which was Bad Luck and Trouble. They've also said Marina Stein will return as well, who was the sort of PI that helped Reacher out every so often. She's coming back as well.
Is that Willa Fitzgerald's character?
No, Marina Stein's Francis Neagley, who was the private detective and the sort of former armor investigator that he called on every so often. Willa Fitzgerald, who you're thinking of, was only in the first season, because the entire thing about Reacher is he moves from town to town to town, so there are very few characters that are able to cross from season to season. And she was great, but no.
Okay, no, I've not seen any of the show, so that's why I asked.
Ah, right, okay. Yeah, she played Roscoe in the first season, and Malcolm Goodwin was in that as well from iZombie.
Yeah, yeah.
And yeah, so neither of those characters. Those characters were specific to the location of the first show, and there are very few characters that translate from one season to the next. And the second season is basically about one of his old squad mates, I think, turns up dead. So it's kind of going into the bit more into the background of Reacher as well.
Cool.
So yeah, very much looking forward to that, because the first season was absolutely superb. So really looking forward to that. Back on UK TV, there are some interesting things that they announced coming up for Sky. Fantasy Football is returning. Fantasy Football League, the TV series, which of course was originally Frank Skinner and David Baddiel. Last season that they did was in 2004. They're bringing it back on Sky. It's going to be Matt Lucas and Ellis James hosting it. So they're going to be doing that sort of... I mean, had you seen any of the Fantasy Football TV series?
I hadn't seen any of this before, no.
So you'd never seen the original show?
No. If it was in like 2004, I wouldn't have... don't think I'd actually heard of this before. So,
oh, right, okay.
It might have been like a bit in the background or something like that. Because majority of coverage I see or have seen is like Sky Sports stuff or YouTube things. So this wouldn't have really been what I was looking at.
Right, yes. Okay. So the basic format of the show is these two blokes sat on a sofa. They have guests come on, and they're made up of teams that are regular sort of celebrity guests, and they kind of pick fantasy football teams. So that's the basic kind of premise of it. It was based on the life of David Baddiel and Frank Skinner, who actually shared a flat at the same time. So the entire set was sort of a set of their flat. And they had a guy called Stato who was on there, who gave all the statistics out as well. They're taking the same basic premise, apart from it's going to be Ellis James and Matt Lucas that are going to be the two main hosts of it. And then there'll be kind of guests coming on. But it was quite a fun show. And if you're into football, it's kind of quite a nice comedy football series. So they're bringing that back. Another football show, which is called Got Need. This is Jack Whitehall has challenged his best mate Jamie Redknapp, with some help from his dad Harry, to build his own World Cup team by collecting real life meetings with actual World Cup stars. That's basically it. It's like trying to collect the stickers you get in the stickers albums, except doing it with meeting actual players. The idea of it. It's only three episodes, and it's on while the World Cup is on, I think, is the idea for that.
It sounds interesting. Yeah, something slightly like different. I do like Jack Whitehall a lot. I've still not seen, there was a final three episodes of Travels with Father, where they did his dad, because Netflix forgot to keep telling me that it was on there. So, but the Redknapps are cool. Jamie and obviously Harry. We'll see what this is like.
I think the show is mainly going to be Jamie and Harry, and it's sort of, you know how in Idiot Abroad series, Ricky kind of sets up sending
meetings
him off
and stuff.
Yeah, Ricky sort of sets it up at the start and sends him off. I think it's that sort of setup of Jack kind of setting Jamie off on this thing to go and try and meet these World Cup people. It sounds like it's that sort of setup. So I don't know how much Jack is actually in it, but he will obviously make some sort of appearance in it, but I think it's mainly focused on Jamie and Harry. That so that will be on Sky around the time of the World Cup. Then they've also announced Hold the Front Page, which is Josh Widdicombe and Nish Kumar are about to leap into the unique and often sensational world of local news. So it's essentially, it's Josh Widdicombe and Nish Kumar traveling the UK, working temporarily at local newspaper outlets and following up sort of little local news stories, which I think sounds like a wonderful, fun, interesting little premise for a TV show. So it's basically exploring Britain sort of via the medium of the local newspaper, which I think sounds like it's going to be really fun. And I really like Josh. I really like Nish. So I think that could be great with the two of them working together, because they're quite good friends in real life as well. So, but that's called Hold the Front Page. Don't know when that's dropping, but there is that. Just jumping back onto Warner Brothers temporarily, there is one other thing that has been officially announced this week. They kind of mentioned it a few weeks ago. It got like leaked, but it has officially been confirmed. The Wonder Twins film, which was being made as a film for HBO Max, has definitely been cancelled. It's so weird, this, because KJ Apa from Riverdale was one of the cast in this, and they announced him, and I can't remember the girl's name, but they announced the two leads for this on the 15th of April. It was then leaked on the 1st of May that it had been dropped 2 weeks later, and they officially confirmed it this week that it had been. So they've obviously known for a while, because if somebody had leaked it was cancelled on the 1st of May, they've known that it's been cancelled for that long. So, I mean, as such an odd decision to announce a movie, cast it, and then like 2 weeks later to have it cancelled. And I know that was sort of around the time of the WB Discovery merger, but even so, the timing of that's so odd. I think it's a shame, because the Wonder Twins are quite good fun. They would have fitted quite well into the peacemakery sort of world of that. They're not like big and violent, but there's a sort of hyper realistic version of those characters, because the in the comic books, certainly in the later ones, I don't know about some of the earlier ones, but certainly in the ones that are the latest run, they're basically interns at the Halls of Justice, if you don't know the Wonder Twins.
Didn't they do the Halls of Justice or whatever in the one of the Arrowverse crossovers, I think?
Sort of, yes.
Sort of, yeah. I think I remember them mentioning it or something like that.
Yeah, but the idea is in the later versions of the comic books that the Wonder Twins are essentially the interns, and they make tea and stuff, and they're sort of at the Halls of Justice, and there are other things going on, and you kind of occasionally get some of the bigger, like, you know, Superman and Batman and Wonder Woman, you occasionally get them sort of wander in, but they're dealing with higher sort of things, you know, they're dealing with like big global threats and stuff, and the Wonder Twins are trying to sort of impress them, but are kind of failing slightly. So there's a sort of characterization of the bigger heroes being a little bit dickish and sort of ignoring these two as you sort of go through it. So I kind of feel that there is a version that would fit quite well into the sort of peacemaker world there. So I've had a kind of interest in this, and they're alien as well. So they're kind of new to the planet and don't really understand exactly how things work as well. So there's a sort of fish out of water thing going on. So I think there was a lot to play with there. So it's a shame that...
What could they both do?
Their powers are activated when they touch each other and speak the phrase Wonder Twins powers activate, but they physically got a sort of like your bump fists or something. So that one of them can transform into water into any state, so solid, liquid, gas, and the other one can transform into animals of various types. They can be kind of real mythological, indigenous to Earth or indigenous to their home planet. So that's their main kind of powers.
So if you've got an enemy attacking them and they separate them, they can't do anything?
Once their powers are activated, they stay activated for a length of time, I think. I don't know how long.
No, I mean before that, like before they do the power up.
Oh, yeah, yeah. If you get them before they've actually activated their powers, then yes, they're stuffed.
Oh, okay.
So they're not, I mean, you know, they're not great as heroes either, in that necessarily sense. But but yes, I think they would have been an interesting addition and fun and funny. So
yeah, it's a bit, because they announced the casting, didn't they? And then about, like you said, about 2 weeks later, there were some rumours, and I think I messaged you and I said, oh, has this been cancelled? Like they just announced the casting, because the Riverdale guy in that. And then you said to me at the time, like kind of what everybody else was saying, that like, oh, it's just kind of rumours and it's you know, being spread around by clickbaity sort of sites. So, but that was obviously it being leaked.
Yeah. It's very difficult to tell. Sometimes those things are right. Those things are wrong. I mean, I wasn't sure with that one, but yes.
So very, very, very short-lived.
Yeah.
But yeah, to announce the casting and then like, what, a few weeks later, it's sort of done. That's pretty wild. Yeah.
Yeah. It was KJ Apa and Isabel May were the people that had been cast as the leads on that. So Isabel May being in Young Sheldon, I think, played Veronica on Young Sheldon.
Mm.
But yes, but it is no more, apparently. And one other little bit of CW news, the Babylon 5 reboot is still apparently very much in active development. Whether, of course, if the CW gets sold, whether that would end up on the CW or whether it would end up on HBO Max, who knows? But it is still kicking around. They have still got that in development over there. So we could be getting, and it is from the guy that wrote the original Babylon 5, so it's not some new writer coming in and redoing it somebody else's vision. It is him redoing it himself. So that has a lot of potential, I think.
Mm-hmm.
So it's good to know that's still kicking about. That's all the news for this week. Let's move on to some highlights for next week on TV. So, highlights for next week on TV. We have Wu-Tang, An American Saga, which is a drama which follows a fictionalized account of the formation of the Wu-Tang Clan. That is coming for season one on Disney Plus on the 25th of May. The Flight Attendant season two, that comes to Skymax on the 26th of May at 9 p.m. I have seen a few episodes of the second season. It's brilliant as the first one was. I'm really, really enjoying it. Kaylee's great in that lead role, and it's really, really good fun. Stranger Things returns for the first bit of season four, and that is on the 27th of May. This has been split into two, well, sort of two parts. It's basically most of the season, and then there is a break and two episodes. So it's slightly odd how they've split it up, because it's most of the season and then two episodes at the end. But apparently the episode at the end of part one is basically feature length, and the finale is basically feature length.
Yeah, so, these episodes are really long.
Yes, they have said the episodes are really, really long. I mean, the entire fourth season is longer than any other season we've had before, despite the fact that it's the same number of episodes, essentially.
Is it this one that's the final season or the next one?
It's the next one that's the final season. So we've got one more to go after this.
Okay.
Another big show starting this week, Star Wars Obi-Wan Kenobi. That has two episodes released on Friday, the 27th of May. And then the next episode will land the following Wednesday. So we get like three episodes within a very short amount of time. And there's only, I think, six episodes in that run. So yeah, but you basically got half the thing in like, you know, 5 days. Mm. So I'm very much looking forward to that. I think there's a lot of excitement around this. But Friday, the 27th of May, Star Wars Obi-Wan Kenobi drops onto Disney Plus. Midsommar Murders comes to ITV for the third part of season 22. It's really weird, the formatting of this. They've like been dropping out one or two episodes at a time in the UK. And I think the whole thing has gone out on BritBox in the US. For some reason, ITV have really spaced this season out.
Right.
So it's like one episode, then like a 3 month break, then another episode. And that, so it's weird. But yes, Midsommar Murders season 22 is back again on the 29th of May at 8 p.m. for that. And then lastly, Pistol, which is a six episode limited series about the legendary Sex Pistols, based on a memoir by Steve Jones, who was the guitarist for the band. And that comes on the 31st of May to Disney Plus as well. And that Pistol.
They've done a few of those, haven't they? They did like the Beatles. Was it the Beatles?
Well, yes, the Beatles was an actual documentary, though. This is a drama. So,
okay, right.
But yeah, and Wu-Tang Clan, again, it's a similar thing. He's, you know, Wu-Tang Clan's about the, you know, the American group. So Pistol about the sort of classic British group. It's sort of more in the vein of that Pam and Tommy thing, I guess.
Right.
So that's Pistol, 31st of May for that. And that's everything we have for you this week. If people want to find more from you, where can they find you?
You can find me over on entertainmenttalk.org for TV, games, films, Man United podcasts, and of course on your favourite podcast platform. I did a big, it wasn't just a United cast focused episode yesterday. I talked about sort of how the whole season finished. I talked about my manager of the year and everything, who that was, and just a kind of a more of a sort of final day discussion of all the Premier League stuff. So there's all that. I'll be doing a sort of season wrap up, I think, the week after next. Give a little bit of time for that. Did a season preview podcast for the boys that's coming back, because of course June is approaching, so we're gonna have no shortage of content, to say the least. That's one of the earlier things. That's like June 2nd as well. So I did my preview for that. Obviously got Jensen Ackles as Soldier Boy, so that's really cool. Still covering Better Call Saul with David. We've got the mid-season finale coming up this week. That should be a big episode. Still doing Gaming Talk. We had episode 300 recently. Film reviews, you know, all that type of stuff, some TV season reviews. And as we mentioned, June is on its way, so we'll have no shortage of things to give coverage for. You can also find me on Twitch at eTalkUK, and you can find the YouTube channel, which has got those archived and the game clips as well on Entertainment Talk Plays. So that's all my stuff.
Yep, so go and check Matt out over there. For other people involved in the show, you can, of course, find Bex at twitch.tv/TristaBytes. That's B-Y-T-E-S, who is doing streams pretty much daily and evenings and stuff, and you can find her talking about retro games or just chatting. I think she was doing some DIY, so hopefully she still has all her fingers. She posted a thing out saying, "I'm doing DIY, you are my responsible adult, come watch." So yeah. So yes, she did a DIY stream recently, and yes, she's loads and loads of fun, stupid things are going on over there, so go and check out Bex on Trista Bytes. Daryl, you can also find over on HollywoodNorthNews.net for all those series you love which are shot in Canada. For us, you can go to the website at geektown.co.uk throughout the week and see all the latest air date information. If you want to get in touch with your questions or comments, email us on podcast@geektown.co.uk. Leave a message on the website post, find us at Geektown on Twitter, on Facebook at facebook.com/geektown, on YouTube at youtube.com/geektown, and on Instagram at geektownuk. That is everything. We shall see you next week. Bye-bye.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
It's the question that's on everyone's mind. How do you live a good life? Is it about work, health, or relationships? What about happiness, meaning, and money? What really matters? And how can you dramatically improve all of these things? These are the questions we explore every week on the top-ranked podcast, Good Life Project, hosted by award-winning author and perpetual seeker Jonathan Fields, which also happens to be me. Every week, I sit down with world-renowned researchers, experts, and scions of art and industry on the Good Life Project podcast. This week, in fact, we're sharing a fantastic conversation with the author Elizabeth Gilbert about a single practice that changed her life. Listen to the Good Life Project podcast wherever you get your podcasts. Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.